PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 145. This is a show where we talk about all things geeky. If it has a computer in it, sometimes even if it doesn't, we're going to talk about it at some point. I'm Martin Obando, one of the hosts. Before I introduce our host and guest today, that's right, we got a guest with us. I want to thank Repair Tech Solutions for their tech suite toolkit that they have. It downloads, installs, maintains, automates over 300 commonly used repair utilities. If you can find them and more at podnuts.com, just check them out at the top banner. They actually were on a couple shows ago with Jeff Hallish on PodNuts, so just check them out. Repair Suite. Tech Suite, the ultimate computer repair toolkit. Now that I've completely fumbled my way through that.
Tech Suite. Sweet. Not like S-W-E-E-T. Well,
they may drop us by now.
Tech Suite. Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Tech Suite.
That's or sweet. Tech Sweet. Sweat. Tech Sweat.
No, not Tech Sweat.
No, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't sweat because you got the sweet.
That's right.
That's
very good.
Yeah, boy, we just give it away here.
Yeah, man. I know. You're selling the sizzle.
You don't sell the sizzle. Well, all right. You go ahead. You should probably introduce us before we get going on some tangent.
All right. So the voices you have heard, I don't know. Maybe you didn't hear. Hey, Mitch, how's it going?
It's going fantastic. Still got my splint on, though. I might have to get a cortisone shot next week. But it's getting better, just slow.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, man. Do you still give high fives, though?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Just gentle.
Or either that or I'll go bowling or something. I don't know.
Bowling. Sweet. All right. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Good, buddy. I'm doing great. I don't have fancy gloves on. I think Mitch had some brass knuckles hidden underneath that. I think I saw something there. But I'm doing all right, man. I was really sick last week, so I guess there's some kind of really bad thing going around. I think I had it. So
that's right. You weren't here last week.
No, I know it's you. Sometimes you would even notice it.
If I
wasn't here, I'm just like
okay. I missed you. I just wanted to see if you knew that you weren't here last week.
I knew I wasn't here, and I'm glad to know that I'm back here today. So
that's good.
Yeah, and I hope I'm glad I'm not sick. I'm glad to see you guys look pretty good, and I hope our listeners aren't sick. So
yeah,
there's some nasty stuff going around out there. I think it's all engineered by our enemies.
By our enemies, the yeah. Sony hackers.
Yeah, well, it's but you know what? Well, once again, on our tangent, we still haven't got all our introductions out of the way. So I'm right. Sorry.
That's all right.
Like our most important, I've got a guest, man. Let's get the guest there. He's already killing it. We've already cut great stuff out of the show.
He's just gonna sit there, and we're just gonna ramble on and on and on. And we're gonna be like, "Oh, thanks for joining us."
He's like, I remember why I only come on this every 3 or 4 years
because I only get 3 or 4 minutes. All right,
fill that up with commercial.
We'll be right back. All right. So our guest today. Formerly known as the Techie Geek, Tracy Holtz. Tracy.
Hola, mi amigo. ¿Cómo está? Oh, English. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wrong podcast. Yeah. You're thinking of
Pasos Los. Yeah. That reminds me when I went to Germany in the army. You had this a week introduction to the German culture and basic language.
Crash course.
And do you know some of the stuff they teach you?
Spanish?
One of the things, not Germany, German, but one of the things they taught us was Was es los auf der Bundespost. Well, it's kind of cool, but it's like, what's up at the post office? You know, it's one of those things that's kind of like, you know, when am I going to use it? You know,
what's up at the post office?
Was that like a hangout? What was that?
So that was a big thing when we'd meet some like German that would not speak English to us all. We'd just go, Was es los auf der Bundespost? And they'd look at us like, you guys are crazy.
That's funny. But you know, but nobody would ever say that. So it's like a really great phrase, like a secret phrase. If you
needed, and then
you're in danger. It's like, hey, what's up with the post office? Because nobody would ever say that. Like
exactly. Now
it's your conversation.
There's even a worse story. This tells you how much I really don't care. I was an MP, military police, so people would ask directions every now and then. So for 2 years, I was telling people, you know, Strassenhaus, for straight ahead, Strassenhaus. It's not Strassenhaus. It's Gradehaus. Strassenhaus means whorehouse. So I was telling
people to get down. I thought it was a pitcher for the Washington Nationals.
Yes. And remember the red light district. Yeah. Red light districts are legal there. So I was basically telling people to go to the red light district, turn right, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, your militarians at work.
Oh, man. So, was it Berliner? Berliner.
Right.
Berliner.
Berliner. What he says, Ich bin ein Berliner.
That's right. I am a pastry.
I just realized that you guys, we haven't all been together in the same room talking in over a year. 2 years? Because we were all at OLF together.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
And then OLF came and went, and that was that.
Yeah.
The next one. So it's been a while. So we're all here again together.
Wow.
And about formerly known as the Techie Geek, I don't think I'm the junior Techie Geek. Russ will always be the Techie Geek. I was just the add-on Techie Geek.
You're the admin to the Techie Geek? Techie Geek admin?
Admin not, assistant? Not even the admin, just the assistant.
The assistant Techie Geek?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Russ is like, hey, Tracy, could you get me a hot cup of coffee? That'd be great. Two sugars, one cream.
Well, it wasn't the assistant Techie Geek. It was the assistant to the Techie Geek. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Big difference. Yeah.
It was all good. It was great.
Yeah. I still remember the first time me and Russ met was at a Linux Fest. We were in the elevator talking, and this guy turned around to us and said, "You guys are Tracy and Russ." And we're like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh, I listen to you every week." You know, then we're just like, okay.
But it's cool.
And then you send them to the red light district.
It's got to make you feel good.
Why, yes, I am. I'm going to catch you later at the post office.
Strassenhaus. You know?
Strassenhaus.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
So that's kind of a summary of my life story, too. So.
That's never wrong.
That's just one.
Well, you got me beat. Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming on and joining us today, Tracy. Just hanging out with us.
Anytime.
Yeah. So we had talked before the show and kind of on and off on Voxer and just how are things going and catching up. And one of the things that I know that we've done, all of us at one point or another, in and out, we've kind of done cable cutting. And that's been your kind of, that's your forte, that and fish.
Yeah. I've cable cut before cable cutting was a word. So
that's right. Did you invent the word cable cutting?
I wish I have. If I could just got a half of a cent every time it's used.
Cable cut.
Oops. Exactly. Give me 2 cents.
I'll give you 2 cents worth.
But I cable cut when basically it was you were just considered cheap. It wasn't even like cool to do. It was like, you're just cheap.
Now it's cool.
Yeah, to me, basically, to be on, in all honesty, I did it because, to me personally, 99% of cable TV sucks. There's no other word for it. You know, I was in a hotel room Friday night. I went to a funeral Saturday, so staying night in a hotel, and it just affirmed why I don't have cable. It was 40 channels of nothing. I go to the History Channel. I said, I can watch some history shows. Nothing but reality shows. Right, I go to Discovery Channel. We'll watch some there. Nothing but reality shows. And I said, okay, here's the deal. I'll watch the Weather Channel. I go there, reality shows. There's absolutely nothing on TV anymore. And then so I told somebody at the funeral, I was like, well, no, you got to go to H2. Why? That makes no sense. You know, the only sense it makes is you spend more money to get a higher tier in cable. That's all it does. The only thing I would really watch cable for would be documentaries, History Channel shows, and hockey and baseball. That's it. With hockey first. But I can do that without cable. So that's what I do. And I have tried pretty much every device known to man, even one of the original ones about 8-10 years ago called the Popcorn Hour. I don't know if any of you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And that was a great device. Matter of fact, I gave that to Dore. He has that now. But I didn't give him the remote, so it makes it kind of worthless.
So bad do you really want to use this?
Yeah, so it's either a paperweight or he threw it out, one of the two. So,
just a long stick. Whole bunch of sticks pushed.
Matter of fact, it you can tell how old it was. You could put a hard drive in it. It had IDE and SATA connections. That's how old it was. So That was a great little device, and all the way up to the stuff now. Used everyone, the Boxy Box software, everyone. The one that I can say before I begin, the one that disappointed me the most was the Boxy Box. They started off, they could be, right now, if they would have done, just kept normal down the same road they were on, they would be so far of heading everybody, it wouldn't even be close.
Now, weren't they bought by Microsoft?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking of Boxy.
I don't know.
No, Boxy was bought by Samsung.
Yeah, well, that is Boxy. Yeah.
Boxy became.
But before they were bought out, they were doing some. All the development was done on the open source side, so a lot of open source. Well, then they says, hey, we're going to start making this device. Great. We got a physical device we can put this in now besides just software. As soon as the device came out, they said, we're not going to make any more software for TVs or for computers anymore. It's just going to be on the device. Then they said, okay, we got this first device out there. We're going to have another device, but your first device has all these bugs and stuff in it. It needs to be fixed. That'll be device two. They'll all be fixed. Device two came out, all these problems with it. Oh, they'll be fixed in three. So they would never fix their devices. You'd have to buy a new device. Nice. And those would come with other ones. Yeah. So that just dropped everybody off of the bandwagon for them. And that was right about the time the Roku was taking steam. So
I'm sorry. Which product was that again?
The Boxy Box.
Okay, all right, thank you.
The plain Boxy software was great for the computer. Yeah. And hands down, people ask me, what's the best device to use? Nothing's even close. A computer with an HDMI cable. Nothing, and get a cordless keyboard and mouse. Nothing's even close to that. Not even close to it for cable cutting. But if you don't want a computer, then we can go to the other devices. So,
you know, okay, and so, like, I'm either in a complete daze or I'm just a complete idiot. But now, after that long lead, you know, talk about cable cutting and that long lead up, and then you just said cable cutting again. I'm like, now I know what he's talking about. I'm talking about cutting the cable.
Right.
All right.
Sorry.
Not like the Cat 5.
No, you know, no, yeah. That's great. It was like, no, well, you're talking about doing it for it's cool, and I'm like, ooh, I'm into this. So you're talking about telling the cable company to go pound
take
salt.
A hike.
Yes.
Yep. Yes, sir. All right. Well, you know what? That's my
sticking it to the man.
That's my gig right there.
Yeah, and one of the biggest misnomers people think is, oh, you get everything free. No, no. I pay, but I pay for what I want to pay. Do I pay less? Yes, I pay a lot less. But I do pay. I buy Netflix. You have a Netflix account. I have Amazon Prime account, okay? And then I also have a Hulu account. So right there, that's, you know, $25 a month right there, $24, $25 a month. Comes out to, so I do pay something. And then if I do want to have some TV shows or movies or something like that, I'll rent them, you know. So I do pay for stuff, and it's probably averages about $35-$40 a month what I pay for. But I watch what I want, when I want, and how I want. So that's the biggest thing, and that $30-$40 a month is still a lot cheaper than most cable things that you can get. So
yeah.
So that's one of, like I said, one of the biggest misnomers is, oh, you're not going to pay anything. Nope. The biggest thing I really do recommend is get a good antenna. There'll be a link in the show notes. I sent it to Martin, so if it's not there, complain
I'm gonna put it in right now.
Martin at – to get it.
But, that's Fred at
– Yeah. Fred. But
you remember that Fred guy? Remember him?
Who?
Flint's
Fred. Up. I tell you what, that guy was a piece of work. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Nah,
but that in there. I was off the guy.
The one I like, it's called the Lava HD2605. The Lava, L-A-V-A, HD2605. Okay. It's good for 150 miles. It's lightweight. It's like $50-$60. Amazon, it's about $50. Amazon. Yeah. You get it, you feel it, and you're like, this feels kind of cheap, but that thing kicks butt. Comes with a little motor. You can turn it, you know, to fine tune.
Yeah.
So it's a really good little antenna.
This is an outdoor antenna, correct?
Yes, but
okay.
Everybody I know has it in their attic. They don't put it outside. They just hang it in their attic.
Really?
Yep. But I have to have mine outside because I got a Galvalume roof. So I got a metal roof. So mine has to be outside because inside, forget it. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So mine's outside, but just mounted on a little pipe going through my porch roof up.
I'm guessing below 30 feet above your house.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I yeah. I do have to be up about 5 feet.
The air flight then.
Exactly.
It's got a blinking light. Now I got where you're going with that. It took me a minute, too, and I was like, oh, the airplane story.
So that's it. It's just there. And nice thing about an antenna is you will actually get better quality than you do HD on cable or satellite. So if you watch a sports show, it's way better over the antenna. And if you live in an area, I live in north of Dallas. So it's kind of cool on Saturdays for college football. If I point it south, I get the Texas games. I turn my antenna 180 degrees, I get the Oklahoma games because it's all regionalized. So you can do some of that regionalization too.
Can you pick up any Beavers games, Ducks games, anything like that?
A little more than 150 miles. So maybe I'd have to point that for you. Yeah, to the northwest and to hope maybe get a skip or something. I don't know.
Skip it up.
Big skip.
this antenna, this lava, this is a small unit. I mean, look at the picture. It's more of an illustration. But there's nothing to compare it to. But I'm looking at the dimensions. It's a foot and a half by foot and a half by 2 feet. I mean, this is not – even looking at the illustration, I'm like, well, that kind of looks like something you'd see mounted on an RV, at, you know, parked the campground. Yep. A foot and a half, that's a foot and a half, 2 feet. This is not, you know, the aerial that you had as a kid that, you know, mounted on.
Yeah. Do you still have that antenna next to you? It's exactly
– Mitch has it.
Yeah. Mitch has it. This is exactly like mine. This is barely any different, but that's it.
Here, let me for people watching. There we go.
What are you doing with that, Mitch?
Well, I have two. You know, I do have Comcast. I have two HD boxes, and I had just the analog box on the TV room upstairs, which didn't bring anything in HD on HD TV. And you know, I want to watch the Ravens, so I said I want to get an antenna, and I got a little $10 antenna, and it worked. I'm getting local channels. But a guy at work gave me this, and it's got a rotor, so I can put this in the attic or on the roof. But, you know, I still have a cable right now. But they since upgraded, Comcast upgraded the box. So I do have HD up there now. I just don't get the full, all the HD channels. But I did do a test. So I was one of the playoff games, Raven games, it was the one that was comparing it with the antenna and on the HD box. And it, like Tracy said, the antenna was better, and the sound was even better. I definitely noticed the difference.
They compress the signal to send it through the pipe.
Right.
And those are legitimate HD antennas. It sounds like we had a Highlander in the chat room talking about how he hates when they label things HD just to sell it, and it's not really HD.
Right. Now, if you're within like 30, 40 miles of where they broadcast, you can get those ones that are like paper thin, go behind a picture on a wall, literally there. About, you know,
the leaf.
A foot, two, the leaf by foot, two. Yeah, leaf, thank you. Literally, they literally are behind like a picture on a wall. You don't even see it.
Right.
And they're crystal clear. But if you're over 30, 40 miles, then you got to get to something a little more. Where I'm at the completely other end of the Metroplex. I'm way northeast outside of Dallas-Fort Worth, and that's all the way down in the southwest. So I'm long ways.
But that's all flatlands around there, am I correct?
For the fairly most part. Flat. I can't see it line of sight.
Yeah.
But if I just point down, and if you want to know where to point it, there's free apps for the iPhone and Android. You just put your, you can use a location or put your zip code in, and it tells you where your antenna things are. So when you're up on the roof or in your attic, it'll just like a little compass, and it'll say point it that direction.
Now, isn't that just called a compass? Like you can
could
like
be, but
Boy Scout compass.
Yeah, but the compass points directly to the towers, not to north or
south. Does cloudy weather affect any reception?
None with that. The only time it does is if it physically turns it or moves it or something that, which usually doesn't. It happened once, but if that doesn't it, absolutely nothing. Nothing. So, but usually if there's a big storm, sometimes I turn that off and turn my ham radio on anyway, so I can find out some storm stuff. So I'm probably not a big TV guy doing that.
Well, yeah, it was a question I had is because, you know, what about storms? What about, you know, heavy rainfall? What about snow? And I mean, is that all? I mean, because here in the Pacific Northwest, it's pretty mountainous. So I may try one of these just to see. But for me to point to any like Portland TVs, we have the West Hills. So it kind of has to go over hill. I may or may not get it. Now, I've had an internal electric, not a powered antenna, just a tiny one, and I was able to pick up some channels quite but well.
You have an advantage, though. It's usually not necessarily distance, or hills, I mean. It's distance, because it bounces, you know, just like a ham radio, it bounces, and usually you go over those those okay. those mountains. And some of those mountains actually have little repeaters on them. You don't even know about it. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I know some of them giant antennas on these mountains.
Yeah.
But I thought that was what was causing my... I just figured that was just government listening tools.
Or just drive over tonight to get Mitch's antenna, test it, drive it back tomorrow.
I can do that. Yeah. Mitch is just down the street from me.
Yeah, he's about 40 hours. Just go.
3,000 miles, maybe.
Yeah, it's five for me. I'm getting it first, man. I'll drive out there for 10 bucks for it. I mean, you're
paying for it. It's yours, Tim.
Tim, if you can give me a head start, that'd be nice. That'd be very nice.
I'll give you a 35-hour head start. You drive 100 hours a week anyway. What's the matter if you just turn around once?
That's true. 100 hours. Yeah. Did you say 100 miles a week
or 100? I said 100 hours a week.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you live in that. I don't know why you don't just get an RV and put a bench in the back of it.
I mean,
you'd be looking like Breaking Bad, you know, with that RV.
Or
you know, you're back there cooking up some tech.
Or a motivational speaker.
Yeah. I was actually thinking my computer business actually getting a Sprinter van with stuff in the back. I really, really was. I was really close.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about hiring an employee, and I'm thinking about a vehicle, because then that way I cannot have to worry about paying the mileage or anything. I can just say, here, take the company car.
Mm-hmm. And it's better for your insurance. Mm-hmm. So.
But I don't know. Anyways, that's another story. We're talking about cutting the cord.
Yeah, cutting the cable. Yeah.
Cable, cord.
Yep, different devices. I can go over some devices and everything like that.
Sure.
Like I said, the best is a computer, hands down. The easiest, get the most, you get everything. Besides, you get stuff that's not on other devices. Some of your NBC.com, ABC.com, TNT, some of them that don't have apps and or channels on anything, you can watch and just stream off the computer. So by far, that's the easiest to set up. You hook your HDMI cable to your TV, and you're good to go. You're done. Get a cordless keyboard and mouse.
Nice.
My favorite true set-top box is the one I keep going back to, is the Roku. I keep going back to the Roku. If you're a big YouTube person, I tell you to get the Roku 3, because Roku 3 has the YouTube channel. There's a big dispute about the YouTube channel that went on for years and years, and they finally got together, and the Roku 3 has the YouTube channel on it.
Two, you can get it on the 2, too. I got it on mine.
Do you get on the 2?
Yeah, you have to go fetch it. Yeah, no.
Okay.
What was that dispute? I mean, what was...
Google says you couldn't do it. They were saying no.
Yeah, there was workarounds. They did have stuff. You could get it, but it always would be taken down eventually or something.
Yeah.
But now it's all legal. That works. Well, I will say
there was a YouTube channel you could get, and you were grandfathered in. And I was grandfathered in where I still had that channel. Oh. But the new YouTube channel is even better than that. Mm-hmm. They really knew they had to change their ways when Google and YouTube started pushing pay-per-view stuff they were doing. So they really had to loosen up their things and say, okay, because basically Roku's kind of snubbed them for a while. And so then they finally said, no more, you can't. So then they kind of shut everything down. But they kind of had to start working with them when they started having the pay-per-view, since Roku by far is the big boy in the room. They still are, numbers-wise. Apple TV's probably next, numbers-wise. That's just because the fanboys, you know, buy it. But what I see most of the time, that people that have Apple TV, is they're just Apple fanboys. They're not cable cutters. They're not this or that.
Yeah.
They just got the Apple TV. So for true cable cutters, there's some out there. Yes, there is. Not as many as you'd think that have the Apple TV that are actually cable cutters.
Yeah, I have a friend who's has an Apple TV, and but he is an Apple fanboy, and he also spends $200 a month on cable.
Yeah,
I think of people that want Apple brings them, which is like hands off. This is it. It's like an appliance. When I think of this group, and when I think of cable cutters, that I imagine more like I am. I want to get in there and you pick at it and tweak and all this. I'm imagining that Venn diagram where it is very small. I mean, I'm not imagining people who are, hardcore about telling the whole world to just, you're not telling me what I'm going to do. Yeah.
using an Apple device to get their television. I could see where maybe it'd be like a part of their solution, but I'm not seeing, like, I wouldn't expect that to be like their main device.
Yeah,
I think that's what you just said, but
yeah, the Apple TV is basically for people that have their iTunes and everything in iTunes. They want a super simple way to get it on their TV. Just plug it in and it's working. That's what the Apple TV is for.
There you go.
Roku is a really good device. It has pretty much every channel you want to know to man, you know, and you can rearrange the channels in order, which is nice. You can put the popular ones on top. The new layout, when they did it, a year and a half ago, a lot better than the old one when they started going.
Which one do you have, Tracy, the 2 or 3?
I got the Roku 3.
Okay.
Because the difference is there's the Roku 2, the Roku 3, they're the same device, except the Roku 3 has the remote that's a motion like the Wii, and it also has a network interface. It's not just wireless. It has a Cat 5.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And you can plug headphones into the
Yes, and you can, the Roku 3, you can plug headphones into the remote.
Mm-hmm. That's on their main page.
And that's actually a nice feature. You control the volume right there on the remote with your headphones plugged into the
What's the difference between that and the stick, the Roku stick?
That's really clever.
The stick is just, it's not like the Chromecast, not at all. It is the Roku. Mm-hmm. But the only really limitations is some of the games you don't have because it just can't handle it because mm-hmm. it's a little lighter. Roku can handle some pretty powerful games. Not just everybody puts Angry Birds on there because it's there, but you can have some pretty powerful games running on there, which they sell through their marketplace. Some of those you couldn't do with a stick. Where the stick comes in handy is it's just so flippant small, mm-hmm. you know, you just travel with it. You know, I have a stick and it just throws in my bag for when I'm...
So no problem streaming with that. So if I'm going to replace my 2 because I'm having problems with it, the stick would be fine? Yep.
I have no issues with the stick. Okay. None. It's better than the Chromecast by far. Okay. The little device, one thing you have to do if you travel with a hotel room is a tip is there's little software you can get or little devices you can get that connect to your laptop or other device that connects to the hotel's wireless and gives you a little access point. Because most hotels, you have to log in. Well, you can't log in on a Roku or anything like that. Because there's, you know, the logging in with the password, but then you have to go to a web page and go through all their stuff like that. So I got a little piece of software that just sits, plugs into my laptop, and it makes a little access point, and then I connect my Roku to that, and that's what I stream. So, and if I have a problem, I just take my laptop with an HDMI and plug it right into the TV. So I do that also. So when I travel, I do travel right with it. And another nice thing I like about it is, and you have your account with Roku. Mm-hmm. I have two Rokus and a Roku stick. They're all identical, the same. When you get a new Roku, you sign into your account. It brings all the channels you've had down. So no installing, no nothing. Whatever's on your account, you can have it.
Now, if I got a new one, if I got this stick, mm-hmm. I still have to purchase the Plex app for that one?
No, because it's on your account.
Oh, okay.
As long as you have the same account. You're saying, do you know your Roku login?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's as soon as you turn it on the first time, it'll ask you your login. You log in, and then it'll say, configuring your device, updating and configuring your device, and it downloads all your apps.
Now, what about if I got the Roku for my phone, my smartphone? Would they still charge me for that? Or because that's a different product. Yeah, different.
Your smartphone, the one you pay for, the Plex app on your smartphone, yes. That goes by your account, too.
See, because I think you have to purchase it for your... I think David.
You do have to purchase it for your phone. Yeah, so it is separate purchase for your phone. But yeah. But with the Roku, you don't have to use Plex so much anymore. They have the Plex Media app, which streams. If you have routers nowadays, you can plug a USB into it and like share it, mm-hmm. you know, your media through that. It'll pick it up right on your Roku.
See, I usually watch others. I don't have anything to share, so I'll watch. My son has a nice Roku. He's got quite a bit.
Yeah. It's not as pretty as the Plex Media Server. It's pretty raw. It just lists your shows, you know, mm-hmm. alphabetical.
Right.
You know, you can pick, I want just audio, just video. You know, you can do that or just browse for something, which doesn't bother me. But I do have a Plex server. The Plex server, it's pretty too. Plex server, they do an awesome job. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome app. That the Plex, especially you don't have to pay anything. You know, for the server part, you know, and all that stuff. There's add-ons you can get, but the Plex media server is.
Yeah, at one time the Plex was Highlander put something in chat. It was free at one time, but now they charge you $2 after 30 days. See, if you had it before,
for the server?
Yeah, for the app itself, for me to watch.
For the app. I just get mine for the on the Roku. That's all I use.
But
or stream it off the other computer.
Now my Samsung Smart TV, it's free on there. But I still like the Roku is just it's just so much better. The app on
The Roku is it's an unbelievable device. It's to me, I always go back to it. I always try something else.
But like I said, I'm having problems with mine. Mine will lock up on me every now and then. It just doesn't do nothing. I have to unplug it for a while. I don't know what's going on with that. I
wonder if it's overheating.
That's what it sounds like, but
yeah.
Not much I can do.
But I really try to give the Chromecast a shot. I use nothing but the Chromecast for 2 months. Just to really
I do have that. I have that. I used it all probably. I had about 2 years. I probably used it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a great device. It's a great inexpensive device, but for about the same price, you get the Roku, you know, which is better. But I just did not like where I always had to have my phone or my tablet with me really to use it because inevitably it was right at the time when I sit down at the end of the night, I'm working all day on my land, I come in, I want to sit back, my phone's dead. So then I got to go try to find a plug-in next to me where I'm at, plug it in, and do all this.
And that's the only way the Chrome will work, correct?
Right, yes. Yeah. So then click instead of just turning it on. And with the Chrome and with the Roku stick, you still get a remote.
Right. And they do give you the choice, like in my Roku. I mean, not my Roku. If I'm watching YouTube on Roku, they'll give me the option if I want to use, you know, sync it with the YouTube, you know, go to the web page and use my phone, which is convenient.
Yep. Now there is an app you pay for it though for Android and iPhone called what's that? I can look it up right here. But it sends stuff to your Roku as well as a Chromecast. Forgot the name of it. Allcast.
Okay.
Oh yes.
Yeah, Allcast. So that's a purchase app for your phone, but you can have Allcast too if you want the Roku experience, like on your Roku, you know, the Chromecast or you on your phone, and just send it over to it. You can get the Allcast too. So, and that'll send it to a Chromecast as well as Roku.
Yeah. So what I've done is I have an Xbox. We have Hulu. We have basic cable. That's what we would do is we would use basic cable to watch one or two shows a week. Just because it was shows that we wanted to watch. They're seasonal, so now that they're done, it's like, well, now we can't watch anything. No football, I mean, unless it was ABC or something like that. Mm-hmm. No ESPN. And everything we would watch then through the Xbox, and we would either use Crackle, Hulu, Amazon. You know, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you get the Amazon movies. That's part of that. Some of the TV shows, now they're and every one of them has benefits over the other, depending on what parent company owns them. Netflix, of course. And then there was other ways to get videos and stuff for shows that we would miss and want to go back and watch. And then I would put them on my server, just a NAS, simple NAS, and then I have a Raspberry Pi set up with RaspBMC.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done the Plex thing, and everybody keeps talking. I mean, I hear more people talk about the Plex and how good it is because of the streaming across, and even not even just that, but the sharing or even streaming externally, which is a big thing. So you could have all your stuff on a Plex server at your home, travel and still stream all your media, or I could share with you, Tracy, or you could share with me, and we could watch. Yep. You know, and
you. Another thing you can do is some of the routers that have plugins and apps you can get for routers now. Plex Media Server is some of them on the routers. So now you just plug in a hard drive literally into your router and turn it, just enabling the Plex server, and you got a Plex server going. So
the router has enough horsepower to.
It depends on what it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Depends on what router. Right.
That's the one thing I think. I'm like, oh, it always sounds like such a holy grail because it's like, here's a router, you just plug things and it just goes. But it's like, a lot of times this little router.
Yeah.
But you're still going through. You still need it. And tell me if I'm wrong. You still need a Plex account. So aren't you kind of going through them and then whoever is sharing with you?
It depends on what you do with Plex. You do not have to have a Plex account. I have a Plex account. Mm-hmm. I have a free Plex account.
Okay.
One of them I have that for is so I can play it later. If I'm on a website, there's a little plugin for your browser. With anything with a video on that page, there's a little thing at the top.
You say, "Yeah, I have that."
Play it later. So, and then when I sit down at night, I'll start the Plex Media Server up and go play it later. Oh, here's six things I did in the last few days. Let me watch these videos right now. Mm-hmm. So that's what that's the main reason I have that, and to keep all my settings, my stuff I've already had. It kind of keeps everything there for you.
Is that the Plex Pass then that you paid for?
I didn't pay for anything. That's okay. Something separate. You don't have to. No, but
because it looks like there's a Plex Pass, and that's what I've always been told. And that's $4.99 monthly, $39.99 for a year, or $149.99 for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that it says Home, Plex Home, Xbox, sort of tie in with your Xbox and stuff.
Right.
Video, your sync, Cloud Sync. Is that what you're talking about? And you just happened to get it when it was free?
No. I just have the Plex Media Server is free. Okay. The Roku app is free. Okay. If you want it on your, if you want the Plex app on your phone or your tablet, you have to buy it. Okay. Some of the features the Plex Media Server has is only available on the Plex Pass, the Advance. So
you just get more features, whatever they may be.
Yes. You just get a lot more features and, they keep a lot of your settings for you and a lot of your other stuff too. So if you're kind of guy that's a set it, forget it kind of guy, or I want to do it once and be done with it and never think about it again, just pay for the Plex Pass. Plus it helps support them too, because they do a good job. And it's really nice. The Plex is a super nice media server. It's simple to use.
I think I'm going to have to do it. I've kind of been on the fence about it. I should just get a computer and just make myself a Plex server and just do it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, because remember, it doesn't need a huge graphics card because it's processing everything from your processor, not your graphics card. So the first one I had, it was one of those old Dells, those old Pentium 4 Dells, and it was transcoding HD stuff just fine.
My son has his own, the emulated thing, Martin,
a VM?
Yeah.
Like a virtual machine?
Yes.
Yeah. You can download a VM with Plex server.
And right over my shoulder, these shoulders, there's two computers right there. One is my NAS and one is my Pixie Boot server. And one is a Core 2 Duo and I think the other one's a Pentium 4. And they're just
struggling. I'm so sick of hearing about these computers. that's what we talked about last time.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding you.
No. I could make one
about these computers. Yes.
Tim, it's a computer show.
You're a room already.
check out how big my computers are compared to yours.
Man. Hey, Martin, is one of those free NAS?
No.
You win. I'm not getting in that geek fight.
No, one of them's not running free NAS. Okay. One of them is actually running Windows. That's my NAS. It's just because it's also my. Does a lot of other things.
FreeNAS has a plug-in.
Gracious. And the other one is a Ubuntu-based Pixie Boot server, which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Already, here we go.
Huh, Tim?
You said Ubuntu-based.
What?
Is that Ubuntu-based?
Pixie Boot.
No, just Pixie Boot.
Ubuntu.
I said Ubuntu.
It's wordplay.
When I had to say it three times, it lost its all effect.
I got it the first time.
Don't say it three times. You say it three times like Beetlejuice over here.
Yeah, so.
Or Candyman.
I'm teasing you, Mark. I tell you, the last two weeks, I've been thinking about that Pixie Boot server. I almost set one up here so bad. I haven't even got started on it yet.
I used the Pixie Boot server today again at the school. I needed it to run some stuff.
Just when I thought I couldn't feel worse about myself.
Once you go Pixie, you never go back.
Your massive Pixie Boot server. So what
Linux distros you guys are running, if you are?
Oh, nothing.
If you're running Linux, what distros are you running?
Ubuntu. Mark? Oh, no.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I forgot. I'll boot up to it. I can't remember what it is.
Mitch is running Manjaro.
No, not anymore.
You're not running Manjaro?
No. I have some stuff going on.
Linux Mint.
No. I'll tell you.
I don't use it much. I use Mint and Nopix for during repair work, troubleshooting and whatnot. And I started. I took in a an old laptop the other day. Not old. It's actually not very old. Few years old. And I was.
Is it older than my computer's back here behind me on my shoulder?
The big one.
It's pretty safe to say it's nowhere near as good, Martin. I mean, but can we please have our little tussles off air? I mean, let's not do it in front of the kids. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I was trying to load up Zorin, and there was an issue, some issue, and I think maybe the disc was scratched or something. The disc looked fine, so I'm not. But then again, I just got this laptop in to play with, so who knows? But I like tinkering with all of them, but I'm like a Linux fan from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. I totally get it. It's just that I don't have anything in my life that I don't need. It's like if I need something, boom, I got it. Okay, and that's mine. And, but you know what? It's like right now Linux is something that it has very, very limited, here and there. But
Linux Lite, that's what I have.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the movement. So.
I'm one of them. I run Magia. So I'm one of them. So,
but Windows 10 is gonna be free. So I say screw Linux. It's gone.
Windows 10 is gonna be free.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that.
No, I'm just starting trouble.
I didn't think you were gonna say anything about that.
Who? Me?
You? Windows hater?
No. I just don't think anybody should use it. Please don't get me started. Please. Crying out loud, for the sake of our audience, please don't get me started on that.
Now, we only have about 3 minutes, so in 3 minutes, could you sum up why you don't like Windows 8? No, I'm just
kidding. 3 minutes.
Could you compare and contrast Windows 8 versus Windows 8.1?
I gave him 3 minutes, but it was more like a three-minute age,
Well, yes, that is
day true. Age. It wasn't so much a day, literally, it was like a day age that he just went on. Oh my gosh! I completely lost my train of thought.
Well, now that you do bring that up, though, that is what they're reporting today. When Microsoft had their big summit, was that they are releasing Windows 10 free for it says free upgrade for the first year. I don't know what that means, but Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows Phone 8.1 all get a free update upgrade to Windows 10.
Are you serious?
This is a subscription model they're going to.
Yeah. No, I am serious.
Yeah, that's the same thing. They're going to go to something like
Office 365,
Apple, how you just pay. It's not too much. It's just every 2-3 years, you're just paying a little bit for a major upgrade, major update, I should say, Apple does, which is what Windows should have did after XP. They should just kept doing that. And
So people that have Windows 7 and up are going to get Windows 10 for free if they want it.
Yep.
For the first year. Then you
can upgrade for free during the first year. I mean, 3 years from now, you can't say I don't like my Windows 7 anymore and get the Windows 10. You have to pay for it. Then, but the first year, it'll be available just like when you buy when Windows 7 came out. If you bought a Vista machine, 3 months ahead of time or something, they were like, okay, it's not out yet, but buy a machine, and that way it would encourage people to go out and buy machines now and not wait. And so it's kind of like that. It's like you have a year if you want free up. I think it's a really good move. I mean, making things free. I don't know. It kind of makes your product seem. I don't know. It's kind of like. If you're just going to give it away,
but they're going to the update model every year. You're saying, and how much is that going to be?
They haven't any prices. No.
And what happens if you don't do it? It's going to quit working, or?
Well, everything that in the last, honestly, and I do say this, I'm not because Ballmer bashing is fun, but anything he's really touched and had a lot of control in the last decade's been horrible until he got out. Honestly,
right.
He was in charge of Vista, Windows 8, and the Surface. Gee, thanks, but I really think since he.
Uh oh! All right, we were still recording here. We lost connections, and they are coming back. But I'm not stopping the recording. And I know the video people are not hearing me, but the audio people are hearing me. Okay, Tim is back.
Yeah, something just kind of...
Yeah, it's shut down. Okay, Martin's back. And Tracy is back. Okay. All right, I covered it, Martin. Everything's cool except for the video part.
Well,
okay.
I'm sorry. I'll never use that word again.
Yeah. Well, no, it says still live, so I was going to go check the live broadcast, so we'll just let it ride. Well, anyways, that's live TV for you.
I blame Al in the chat. You know, Uncle Al here in the chat room. He just had the gall to point out how nice and clean Martin's workbench is, and how messy and filthy mine is.
I knew you were going to say.
Look, this is a very creative mind back here. All right, you can see my walls; they're covered with scribbles and everything that I ever needed to know. Everything I need, it's within reach. It's just under something else. So
I'm way too type A. I it's kind of messy. Sorry.
I think what are you going to be on the next show about?
Oh yeah, mine's a disaster.
No, Tim, you're going to be on the next show of hoarders. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
It's in flux.
So I can see some.
Yeah, I tell you what, you guys, keep it up. One of these days, I'm gonna show up and everything's gonna be all nice and neat, and you're just gonna think I'm an imposter.
Yeah, it's not Tim. Who is that?
It's like I'll get Uncle Al. I didn't say filthy.
Believe me, hey. And Tim's defense.
It's true. He did. I said that. What does that say? That says more about me than it does about anything else.
Hey, Tim, in Tim's defense, you don't see my stuff, how bad my stuff is. I don't know if you can get an idea how messy my stuff is. Nah, it's CDs, DVDs. So mine's not really that much better. I mean, I just got stuff all over. I don't put stuff away. And I have to ask my wife where some certain things are because I don't know where they are. That's right in front of you.
Since I closed my computer shop, it is so nice. I got one drawer, my stuff in it. That's it. I have a few old computers, and now that it's been over a year, I can legally get rid of them. Just abandoned ones, those. So it's kind of nice just having a little drawer with all this stuff in there instead of all over the place.
But anyway, in my own defense, I don't actually do much work from this spot. I mean, sitting here and doing this is almost the only thing that I do from right here. And so this tends to be kind of like the corner of the room where things
are. It's the trash can, the big trash can behind you.
Not the trash can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I feel like I'm really being mischaracterized here.
The collecting area.
It's the place where the things get emptied out of my pockets, the stuff gets set, Although I tell you what, this is probably the one spot in the whole house the kids don't like trash. Right. So I can literally claim all this is mine.
They're afraid to get lost.
Oh my gosh.
It's Al's fault. Just blame it on Al.
Blame it on Al. Poor Tim.
Blame it on Al. No, Tim's all right. Tim can take it.
Doris fault.
One of these days, it's going to be all nice and neat, and then you'll have nothing bad to say about me. I'll literally be. It's like this man's faultless now. We have no fault with him.
Okay. Highlighter says most genius minds have a messy work desks in history.
Al, but
and you know what? That's probably true. But this is not messy. This is like I literally look like I'm rising out of a landfill.
But it also says most genius minds, so not all. I just want to point that out. Because
most mean it.
You're either a genius or you're a serial killer psychopath, one of the two.
Hey, look, I told my wife, it's either me or my office. I mean, we both can't look good.
Oh. Yeah, I told my wife the same thing, and you can see how clean my office is.
Oh gosh. Anyway, can we please steer this away from my this disaster that I call a the public, the one area of my house that I really make public, and it looks like this. We could probably just talk about something else. We were still talking about cable cutting, weren't we?
Yeah, I was gonna say, we did kind of go off on the table, cutting.
We're going to do the Windows thing. Briefly, you kind of got in the Windows thing. It's like if you have Windows 7, if you have Windows 8, it's like, cool. You got a whole year. You're free to upgrade without paying, what was it? Did you have to pay $25 or something?
I remember it's not very. It's going to be pretty low subscription price. It's not going to be very expensive. And they'll make more money in the long run because pirating to them is so high. That they'll probably make more in the long run.
You're saying it's like this is news that this has been announced that there is going to be a subscription based.
But they said after the year, then somebody asked them is a subscription. They said that's the plan. So I don't think they've officially said it, but I think that's what everything's going to.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah. But they've been saying that since Vista. It's going to be 7's going to be a subscription based. Windows 8's going to be subscription based. So.
Why would they're doing it with Office already. So
yeah, but that's
Open Office.
Okay, whatever. Okay, good luck with that, Microsoft.
Yeah, that's the problem we're worried about with Microsoft is their Windows 10.
And then, yeah, well, then you know there's probably going to be a joint price for this much. You get Windows and Office.
Oh, yes.
It's just business. It's just smart business. You know. It's,
oh yeah.
You know, I think Windows. Every time I work on computers, I work on them sometimes, and I just shake my head. Although I don't have a computer shop, I helped a friend of mine with his computer, and. He booted up, and you know that message you get about your hard drive is imminent failing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those you get. Okay. That is a first load error. So his keyboard died, okay? Cordless keyboard died. He had to get a new one. Wasn't the battery. The whole thing died. Had to get a new one. We could not get past that error because that's the first thing to load, and you have to get through that error for anything else to load. So we could not load a different keyboard to say continue on to that error, even in safe mode or whatever we did. So, Microsoft site, they basically said, well, we don't know, you know, hey, just reload or try to get around it. So, if your keyboard dies when you get that error, you can't load another keyboard. So, I'm sure if you bought the same exact keyboard and mouse, it would work, but...
But the hard drive was gone anyway, correct?
Yeah, it says the hard drive, you know, that little message that says, hey, your hard drive is about to fail, please back stuff up, you know, and it comes up every time. So, you know, that's just what the hard drive is. Going to fail? I don't know.
I'll use Ubuntu CD disk too. They'll tell me the same thing.
But that just means instead of the easy backup this and that for your settings, we had to external it somewhere, you know, back everything up manually. You know, because I'm still old school where I like to run the driver backup and all that stuff just to make stuff easy.
Same thing.
Couldn't do any of that, you know, because we could not get past that error because that's a first load error.
I mean, you could mount it in another machine and get stuff off of it.
Yeah. You still get it off, but you just, that's what I was saying about the Windows. Some of the stuff they do is just crazy. Like, why is that a first load error where it doesn't even load devices before that error stops everything? You know, so, and his mouse just happened to die at the keyboard at the right time, you know, so.
Was it PS2?
No, it's Windows. Windows.
The mouse. What kind of keyboard? Was it?
PS2 connectors on the peripherals.
No, USB.
Was it USB?
USB.
Okay.
Yep, they had cordless, and I tried a hardwire and another cordless set, and it wouldn't recognize them. It would just, you know, just nothing. It would just come up with that air and sit there. Like,
It's spin right time, as Martin would say, probably.
Yeah. Well, put it in the freezer.
Well, yeah. The thing is that air is coming from the smart, the smart technology on that, and that's exactly what SpinRite would tell you. Your drive is in imminent danger. So,
yeah, so you got to.
I think when you get that error, anyway. It doesn't matter whether it's SpinRite time or not. It's time to get a new drive.
Hard drive, right.
I mean,
yep. So just stuff like that with Windows kind of drives me crazy. Yeah. You know, it just kind of bangs my head against the wall.
Highlander asked, couldn't you have loaded in safe mode and installed the drivers for a new keyboard?
I tried in safe mode. You get the same message. Your there imminent you drive and no keyboard's working.
It's probably more the drive was really failing more.
So
I would say.
So I just put it in my external thing and got the data off. So yeah.
Sweet. Did we cut you off about your cord cutting? Was there more that you wanted to?
No, just we talked about the few devices. We talked about the Chromecast, I think. Yeah. The Roku. Those are the big ones. Chromecast, Roku, Apple TV. But the easiest by far, like I said.
I haven't even heard the best one yet.
Computer. Get a computer.
Oh, yeah.
Media Center. Sure. Media Center is the bomb. It's the best. It's easy. It's so easy. You set it up, and it's wonderful. If everything Microsoft made was anything at all like Media Center, they would have no problems.
Well, no, I did not mention you do have a good point. Some people can do
Wait. Can you say that again? Wait, you had a great point. You got that right, Mitch? Did you get
that? Yeah. It's being recorded.
I'm pretty sure I heard him right. I mean, I know I live in like I'm like rising up out of a landfill over here, but I think that I actually said. I'm sorry. I should have made a big deal.
Exactly.
Actually, if you know, he was saying good things about me. Why did I cut him off?
Exactly.
But
you know what, Media Center is great.
Yeah. They have an Xbox or a PlayStation. They go out and buy something. Well, those do pretty good. The Xbox does a great job at streaming. They got a lot of apps. That does a really, really good job. Why do you think they have called the, you know, XBMC? That was from the old Xbox Media Center. You know, so the You can start your whole cable cutting just right on an Xbox or a PlayStation 1. Just right with them, you know. Just kind of get your feet wet if you're wondering. People tell me how to do it. I say go slow, you know. Get some of the stuff you want and just try turning the cable off for a few days and see what you think. And the biggest thing for people is changing your habits. Hands down, that's the biggest thing you have to do, is you have to change your habits. If you're the type of person that has to watch it live and you have to talk about it at the water cooler the next day, cable cutting will never be for you, ever, 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 because most of the stuff you watch is a day or two later, usually the next day at the earliest, but most of the stuff, it's down the line. So, but I never watch commercials. I skip through them. So even if it's recorded somehow, so, you know, most shows are 40 minutes, hour shows, or 22 for a 30 minute show. So I do save time. So
you got to come back, man. Cause I love this topic. We've had a Media Center PC here, at the house for, oh my gosh, probably 6-7 years now, maybe 8. And I tell you what, you know, I've had, you know, young children, and it's been literally, it's the only computer in the house I think would have been saved if there was a fire through the years, because of course the rest of them seem to be disposable, the way they treat them. But I mean, the Media Center PC, it's just, it's been rock solid. It's set down, it works. The kids, they just pick up the remote. I mean, you don't have to handle discs. I mean, it's the way you would just expect a computer. You want the computer to work. You just turn it on and it just works. And it's,
And nice thing about having, with the Xbox and like you said it right there, the Xbox and the PlayStation, is you don't have to relearn anything. You know how to use it. You know how to use it well, and you got the remote in your hands down there. You're not even looking, and your buttons are going on the remote, and you're surfing around without even looking. Where it, even though the Roku is super simple, you do have to relearn it. You do have to learn, okay, I go this way for this, and I go up and down and stuff like that. Xbox, you already know. Everything in there, you know what it is, and you already know how to use it.
But I'll tell you real quick, Mike's, I've had I haven't spent much time with the Roku, but the two people that I know that have them, they're not techie. One of them is older. The other one is,
you're talking about me, right? Oh no, go ahead.
No, get out of here, Mitch. I bet Mitch could probably write the code inside that Roku, and then build the hardware in his garage. It's the only people that I know that have them. They're appliance people. They're people that just need to plug things in and just push a button and it works. And both of them, it's like I've gone to their house to fix stuff, but it's not the Roku. And they have no question. They just sit down there just watching the Roku. Well, I work on a computer. They love the device. What you like? How you like? Oh, I love it. They carry on about it. And so that's, I love when tech gets into people's hands and they just plug it in and they can enjoy it. I hate tech. That's a big hassle. That's what we get. We spend our lives like just straightening out the hassle people have with tech. It's so nice to look over the fence and see people just laying back, feet up, and enjoying tech, which is what we all, you know, it's what we all want. And so that's, obviously it's anecdotal. I mean, it's only two examples, but you know, when I have these two people, that one of which is extremely, you know, prone to bad things happening tech wise, you know, just loves the Roku and, couldn't say enough about it, so I felt like that I spoke very, very highly of it.
Yeah, it's super simple device. It's honestly, the hardest thing about the Roku is if you've never used it, is creating the account right away. It's not hard. You just got to type your email, because with the remote, without a QWERTY keyboard, you're using the arrow to go through. It is, if you got a long email address, you know, it just takes a while to go to this letter, go to that letter, this letter, this letter, this letter, this letter, at this letter, you know, at whatever.com, and creating your account. That's the longest and hardest. But after that, they got channel store, go through there, got it in categories, you can look through there, and you just add them if you want, take them off if you don't like it, and you're good to go.
Any recommended shows on Netflix? Like How is House of Cards? Have you watched that?
No, not House of Cards. One I love that's a Netflix only, is Lilyhammer. If you've never saw Lilyhammer, it is an awesome show. It's kind of like The Sopranos meets Married with Children in a way.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You know,
they actually shoot the first episode and it's over.
There's some funny, the main character in Lilyhammer, on The Sopranos,
that's crazy.
The one guy that kind of lasted throughout, he has the slick back hair and everything in The Sopranos, he's the main character in Lilyhammer. He's also one of the guitar players in the E Street Band.
Van Sant.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It's him also. He's the main character, and this doesn't ruin anything, but he takes the whole plot is he's a hardline old-school gangster, and he's not turning on anybody, but a family member turned on him and tried to kill him. So he says, you want to try to kill me? So he turned over state's evidence and became in the witness protection, but he said, I'm only doing it if you can send me to Lilyhammer, Norway. And so he's over there. It's just him kind of starting his little gangster ring up in Norway. And so it's one of the shows.
Wow, that's okay. All right.
Once you watch one show, it's going to go. And the third season just came out about a month ago, the third season. There's 10, 12, 15, I forgot, in each season. And it's a good show. And one of them came back in season two to New York for a little while. So you actually got to see them in New York. So it's a good show. I'm halfway through the third season now, and it's if you haven't seen Lilyhammer, that's one I really highly recommend. One on Amazon Prime is The Transporter. Have you ever seen the movie The Transporter?
Yeah, there's like three of them. Yeah, with Jason Statham.
It's not him as the actor. It's another actor.
Right.
But it's
Canadian.
Kind of the same thing. Well, no, it's English. It's English, but it's made by a European. It's kind of popular right now in Europe. It's a TV show's made in Europe in English because it can go all over the second largest broadcasting company in Europe's out of Luxembourg. I forgot the name of it. They make it. They had another one that's really good that's on Netflix. That's one series called like Crossing Borders or something like that, where the whole thing is in English, but it's taking place in Europe. Okay, that's becoming popular over there because then they can show it in England, Germany, you know, France, all over. They can just get more eyeballs on the set. So, but The Transporter, that's one there. I think season two is done. I think season three starting somewhere like that. But that's not a bad show. It's a good show, good action, good all around. But it has something that you'll notice every episode or almost every episode will have the I don't know how the proper way of saying this here, but just boobs on it. Every show, just because they can.
Yeah.
You know, episode, and you're like, because it has nothing to do with the story every time, and you're like, you know, really have to do that? No. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I'm sure it's some European thing they do for that. So, but other than that, that was season one. Season two is not quite as bad. But a lot of good action, just like The Transporter. A lot of good action in it from, you know, that starts off pretty quick with action and kind of goes throughout. So that's
there's some
another
new,
good series you can watch.
Some recent news came out about Netflix. They have all these good, they produce their own shows, you know, like House of Cards and I think The Orange is Black or whatever. But they're losing money. Why are they losing money? So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. If you're a big BBC fan, then you definitely want Amazon Prime because Amazon has deals with BBC. So all your Doctor Who's and everything. Netflix has some of the older Doctor Who's, and I'm an older Doctor Who fan than a newer Doctor Who fan.
It's a big following.
I'm a person that has every Doctor Who episode, including the audio ones where it says pictures. They don't have the video anymore.
I could never get into Doctor Who. I mean, I tried. Never, and it's a huge following. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's that I was a Doctor Who fan before it was popular. You know, in the last like five years. You know, back in the '70s, I was like, this is because when I grew up, you know, I had NBC, CBS, and ABC. PBS. I didn't have ABC. ABC then. So I
grew up the same way. I grew up the same way, and when the president was on, you were screwed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, same here
because. And then there's nothing really ever watched, so I go to PBS. Well, Doctor Who came on, the same thing. It was Doctor Who, Monty Python, Benny Hill. And I was like, this is great, you know, those three, you know. So that was always good. And then when I was like in junior high time, we got ABC, so woo, then cable. So.
Highlander in the chat asked if anybody had used the, Is it Hala? Ola? H-O-L-A plugin for Chrome?
Yes, yes. That is a really, really good app. Basically what that is if you don't know, it's like a mini free proxy. And I think they got a paid too, where it kind of fits you in different places. Here's where I know some people. I got some missionary friends down in Honduras. They cannot watch Netflix, NBC.com, or anything because it's out of their country code. Well, they turn on that Hola plugin, and it's just like they're here, and they can do it. Some people use the Hola plugin to be so they're like sitting and watch some of the BBC shows.
Yeah, BBC, that's right. That's
what I was gonna say. Hands down, the network that gets it the most, no one's even close, is BBC. If you're in Britain, you get the ITV, something, whatever it is.
IT Crowd?
Yeah. Oh, IT Crowd's good. But all the channels are on there, live or whatever. I get a full proxy server for my browser. It's not just Hola. It is called, let me go here. It's the best one out.
Thanks, Highlander.
Because I've used a couple of proxy ones myself.
It is, like, here we go, wrong one. Anonymous X, Anana X, anonymox.net. $60 a year, but they got proxy things all over the world. So you can sit like you're, even in Canada, CTV's got some good shows. They will broadcast some hockey shows.
That could I you spell that one more time?
Yep. It is anonymox.net. So Alpha November, Oscar November, Yankee Mike, Oscar X-ray.net.
That's it. I was missing that. Okay. So they do have a Firefox and a Chrome plug-in.
Yep. Yep.
I've used private internet access. Mm-hmm. I've used ProXPN.
Mm-hmm. I like these because they have lots of proxies for different areas, and they have speed ones. They have ones that, you know, not only are they fast, they say, hey, you're ghosts, you're anonymous. And I've never had a company say you're sitting behind a proxy, ever. So they do a good job at that. So it's a really good service, easy, good to use. So that's what I use. It's like I said, it's about $60 a year. But to me, it's worth it because, like, one of the things I pay for is, you know, the baseball or the hockey things, you know, the NHL and the Major League Baseball. Well, the blackout rules, so I cannot stream the Stars games or the Rangers games. I can't hear. They're blacked out.
The Angels games, because I'm close to.
Well, so what, and even Houston's blacked out to me.
Are those completely blacked out, or is it like a football where they have to sell a certain number of seats, which they never do?
No, it's just a blackout rule where you can't stream it locally. Can't stream it locally. Right. But the proxy, I can just pop myself like I'm sitting in Chicago or Portland, and I'm fine. Speaking of that, the news, the law changed. NFL cannot blackout TV shows anymore for seats. NFL cannot. That's this year that went through.
I think it was deflated.
Yeah. NFL really didn't care anymore. They could have went on fighting it, but they're not fighting it. They're like, that's such a small drop in the bucket now. They don't really get paid on numbers anymore. They get numbers on a whole, but not on a little local level. So they really don't care about that. That most of their money comes from contracts, not from people going to the game. So that's old school mentality. So, but with the proxy, then I can just sit down and just pop myself in like I'm sitting in Chicago or Boston or something like that, and just watch the local game. So, or watch BBC Live, Doctor Who. You know, I can do that too.
Great Britain. I've got a question for you then. At CES, they released. Dish TV released something called Sling TV?
Yes, that's what it's basically going to be, where you're going to be able to stream and pay only for streaming channels.
It's not Sling, right here. Not Sling Box, is it?
No, they're just calling it Sling TV. Okay. But there's a whole bunch of channels that's going to have it. Well, I'm sure most of you heard that HBO, you're going to be able to just pay for HBO streaming, just HBO Go, you're going to be able to do that. ESPN's going to jump on the ticket. Where you're going to be able to pay just for ESPN. I love this because this is going to start the bubble breaking where you can actually get a la carte. you know, because right now, believe it or not, it is a law where they have to package. It actually, it is. It's one of the stupidest laws ever known to man. That's one of them. I think, but the cable companies like it. That's how they make their money. Because, you know, right. me and my wife, no kids. Why do I need 17 Nickelodeons and 14 Disneys?
Right.
Don't need them.
I mean, you know? If you chose that, it puts you on a list somewhere.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Ex-military police, 17 Nickelodeon channels.
And he likes the Strawson house, you know.
Off the grid.
The Travel Channel.
What's he going with all these kids?
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah. So, a la carte thing, I can, is it now? No. I can really see 3 to 6 years from now, everything's going to kind of be a la carte. Yeah, it really is. So, and you'll be able to, like, TNT, okay, $2 a month. You know, right. Stuff like that. You know, History Channel, you know, History will go, hey, have all our History, Discover, A&E, our networks, you know, $6 a month, something like that. So you can get the 5 channels you like, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is I have to pay for basic cable, and I don't watch half of the stuff that's on there. So Sling TV, $20 a month. Mm-hmm. You get ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, TBS, Food Network, HGTV, Travel Channel, Adult Swim, Cartoon, Disney, ABC, Family, and CNN. And then there's a kids pack for $5 and a news pack for $5. And then you can watch, it looks like, Roku, Amazon Fire, Xbox One, Google, Nexus Player, Samsung, Android phones, Chromecast coming soon. So it looks like, I mean, like you said, this may be the start of that big bubble break. But what's going to happen then to Comcast? I mean, not Comcast, but television providers. How's that all gonna come down?
They hate it. They're going to hate it because they make their money bundling. They so really make
maybe they'll bundling. Maybe they'll so lower their prices,
but they're not going to have much of a choice. They right now, they said HBO will never, because that's why everybody was shocked. HBO makes such a godly amount of money from the cable companies, because most people, they get it in the free trial and they just keep it, you know. So they're making all this every month and they're getting this big lump sum. Well, now they're turning on the people making the money, you know, by selling it every month. But they're seeing, it's the same thing that music people saw probably, what, 2000, 2001, is we got to change our ways or people are going to change it for us and we're going to be left out of the loop. So it's the same as that, like they say, times are changing. Now, there is one more. It's called ustvnow.com, ustvnow.com. This, you can pay for a subscription to get a lot of your basic channels. This is really made for people outside the U.S., but you can pay for it. They have a free account. It's pretty limited and this and that. But then you can get pay for it and get DVR time and everything like that. It's kind of like the ARIO with more channels. But they're a true cable company where they have contracts and stuff.
Yeah, right across the top it says TV for U.S. military service members and Americans abroad.
Yep. But since they're a true cable TV company, they pay back royalties to whoever. So, but yeah, they don't have all the channels, but quite a bit on here. So it's not bad.
Can you record stuff on this?
Yeah, it's got a built-in DVR, yes.
Sweet.
And they got part of the deal is you pay. There's a couple different tiers. If you get, like, the first paid tier, you don't get much DVR time. But anybody that signs up underneath you, you get a few more hours. So they do kind of the tier system where you get 5-10 people underneath you. You're going to have, you know, 30, 40, 50 hours, you know. So pretty good. That's why when ARIO died, I was bummed. ARIO, here's why I disliked it. ARIO had the best technology, hands down. Anybody streaming. No one was even close. Hulu has terrible technology, terrible picture, terrible interface. Everything about Hulu is like, oh, man, you guys kind of suck. You know, ARIO hit the nail on the head on everything, and they were great, right dead on. And I think that's what scared the companies more than anything, that everything they were doing just worked and worked right. You know, so, and they were left out in the cold.
Cool. You probably have some other sites. Are there any other sites that you go to that you'd want to share or that are, you know, I mean, well, there's places you can go, but, you know.
Yeah, there's places you can go to find TV shows, but I can't say, you know, if you should or you shouldn't, you know what I mean?
Right. That's not what I was asking
for. Could you throw out some sites that you should absolutely stay away from? I mean, sometimes it's better to know what not to do. Could you give me a minute, like, just say, these are the bad guys. You don't want to do this. This is
well, like if you miss a TV show and you have to watch a TV show, and you want to do it and do it probably illegally, icefilms.info.
But wait, that was that kind of sounded like a recommendation.
Yeah, that's a site, and they have pretty much every TV show and movie there you can download.
Well, let me ask the question again. Like, of all the options out there, some of them have to be like just a really bad option, and you should never.
Oh,
just like for your own for your own protection. Like, what's a really just plain not a good thing to do?
Some of them are. You'll get some. A lot of these are like computer apps that you'll see even on little devices. They'll say you can get 10,000 TV shows, 10,000 here. Though you can get those free online. There's free softwares for a lot of those. Basically, those is just aggregating free sites from all over the world, and they'll even say sports shows. You know, ping pong from China. Stuff like that. Is there some good stuff on there? Yeah, but it's pretty rare. But there is some stuff you can find and stuff on there, but most of the stuff, usually if it's bad, kind of goes by the wayside kind of pretty quick. So it's more websites that are bad than actually devices, because it costs so much to get a device made and marketed and out that they don't make it unless they're at least halfway decent. So,
you know, when you... I know exactly the sites you're talking about. I think it's, if you were to do a search for like free satellite TV,
yeah,
or satellite, yes, over like satellite show over the, I think that's where you end up getting a lot of this. You're like, yeah, come on over our site. We got like thousands of satellite channels. Yeah. And you start looking through them, and it's just like what you said. It's like, you know, ping pong in China, or, you know, it's like watch accomplished 70-year-old men play backgammon, and you know, yeah, it's like, what is it? And somewhere in there, maybe you'll find like a Super Bowl game that they broadcast like once, maybe halfway through before it got cut off, or yeah, you know, something. And that's, I know exactly this place you're talking about. It just goes, and what you're saying is that most of it's crap. It's all pretty much probably available anyway. And you're saying that they're like an aggregator, and they're just trying to get money. Yeah. Something that basically, yep, you could just, yeah, Google.
Now there are sites out there that broadcast live TV, you know, and there are some of them out there like that you can find. You just have to wave through 20 pop-ups to get to them, you know, and they'll all say, you got to download this. You don't need to download squat. They're just trying you to click on these different links, and there's all these pop-ups. So there is sites that will have live, and those, a lot of people have them for the live sports events that cut cable.
Yeah, and I think often that's what it is. It's the live sports event. It's a crack. I mean, can't
like I'll tell you one of them right now. You know, is VIPleague.se. You know, that's one of them right there. But they have it really nice looking, everything like that. You go to, they got the live games on there, the different feeds. There's just 20 pop-ups to get to your event, and you have to watch the pop-ups, or you click on it, it's going to download. So you just got to worry, too, you know.
You're repeatedly doing something that you know that the first time you shouldn't usually do.
Yeah, and if you can get in a sandbox, that's by far the best thing to do.
Like,
you know?
Once again, it kind of sounds like you're telling us how to do it. I don't like it.
So, yeah. So if you're going to, but then again, it since I started streaming stuff, the quality is so much better, so I don't want that bad quality streaming I'm going to watch from them, you know. Yeah. And it's like, that's like horrible picture for me, you know. So like for me, it's not a big deal. $140, I get every hockey game this year. Done. So I get them all. $100, I get every baseball game, every team, whole year. I'm done. You know, and I get it in HD. I get it better than the cable companies get.
You know what? That's pretty fantastic.
So the NFL, I can almost guarantee you they'll do that too, but they're under that exclusive contract they signed for like forever and a day way back when for DirecTV. They'll be the only one. Their contract's running out, and they see all the money. They've already found loopholes, like you can watch the games after. That's how you can pay for the NFL, some of the Now things you can get for your Roku and online, where you can get all the preseason games, and as soon as the game ends, you can watch it, you know, because they DirecTV have exclusive for all that. Mm. So that contract is running out, and when that runs out, they see all the money the NBA, Major League Baseball, and hockey is making off of this deal. I would not have spent $140 on anything for the NHL this whole year, but I'm paying that because I can get every hockey game. I would not have spent $100 on anything in Major League Baseball this year, but I'm doing that because I get every game. They see that, and they know that. So
you're getting them live.
Yeah, so you can now, obviously the NFL is going to be a lot more because they can charge that because they can. They're the NFL, you know. But I see smaller companies doing that. I'm actually a huge CFL fan, Canadian Football League fan. I think it's a fun game. It's wide open. It's great to watch. I'm real surprised they don't have something, but they're on ESPN, so you can get some of them off ESPN. You know, so once ESPN gets their login thing and you can get their login, put the app on the Roku and just stream away. So,
yeah, NASCAR's been doing a similar thing. And I'll tell you what, those boys got it all put together because you can dial up cameras in the car, you can choose which cameras you want, and it's if you sit in a dark room, you surround. I did it once. I surround myself with a bunch of computer monitors. It was because they had it was it's back when it was free. They were still rolling it out. But I set up all these camera angles around me, and I put up like the blowout 5.1, you know, surround sound, and it was it couldn't have been any louder. It couldn't have been any more beautiful. And I went and got my kid. I just sat him there in that dark room, all his cars.
Yep.
It was really kind of like it was. What I thought was so special about it was that you were getting what you would get out of your screen, but you could produce it. You're the one producing it.
Yes.
You decide.
It's
you decide which camera angles you decide when you want to switch to the because they had six or eight different camera views from the cars, but they had two down on pit road, so they didn't, you know. You watch TV, they switch away from the car you're watching or a wreck to show, like, you know, some guy changed a tire. It's like, no, take it back. It gives you the option to kind of do that, and I think that there's a lot of power there.
Yeah, the two that really get it right is NASCAR and the NHL. I don't say it because I'm an NHL fan, is just because everything you say the NHL, I mean the NASCAR. The NHL, besides, like, I can watch four games at once. That's so flipping awesome. But besides that, it depends on if the cameras are in the stadium, okay? If you take the U.S. and the Mason-Dixon line, if you're south of the Mason-Dixon line, there's only going to be two or three cameras, sorry. But if you're above that, there's the goalie cam, there's all those cams. Yeah. And I can go in, and in a game, I can be watching the game, and then I can say, nope, I want to start watching the goalie cam. And it's the above the goalie looking straight down. Where that is really cool is during the shootouts at the end of the game. I'll switch to the goalie cam at the goalie, so I'm not watching like the side view. I'm watching above it, which I can see a little better. So you get all, like, you're right, and I'm watching the game, and like one of the worst announcers of all time is the Pittsburgh Penguin announcers.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
I'm not. The reason I say that is there's so much homers. You know what I mean? If you like the Penguins, they're awesome. They're probably the best. The Dallas Stars are pretty darn close to that too.
TV guys.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a little harder to listen to. So if they're on, I can just let's say the Penguins, you know, are playing the Rangers. I can say switch to the Rangers feed, and I instantly flip over.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
So that's where that comes in handy.
It's just like my dad in the 70s, you know, he watched the game on TV, but he had the radio on listening to the guys.
Yes.
Calling it.
Yep. Now it's the Dallas is one of the few where the TV announcers are also the radio announcers.
Oh, really?
They do a great job. They're good. They do a great job. The TV announcing is so detailed because it's the radio too. You really don't want to go anywhere else. See, I'm a person that can watch the game or listen to the game on the radio instead of watching it. I can do that. Same thing with baseball. You know, I'm working in my greenhouse. If I'm working there at night, there's a baseball game on. That's great. Yeah. You know, so it comes back to, you know, being an audiobook fan and, you know, an old-time radio fan and stuff like that. But they get it right. The NBA is right there. They're coming on. They're just behind. Next season, they'll be caught up and just on par. When the NFL starts, I got a feeling the first year or two, it's going to be just like the others, pretty standard. Here's a feed to the game. Watch it. Then they'll start tweaking it, you know, to have different stuff where you can watch the Sky Cam or something like that. Because some of the ESPN broadcasts, the college games, you can actually watch the Sky Cam view through the whole game. Besides the regular side view, you can get the Sky Cam up at the top and watch the whole game from the top.
That's how I watched the Ducks versus.
Is that where most of your tickets are?
Buckeyes is because my Xbox, I couldn't watch it because it was on ESPN, but my Xbox tapped into the ESPN live feed, and it was all the Spider Cam.
Yeah, it and those, I love those for special teams. If I can get to one of those cameras for special teams, it is so much better. It is so, it's not even close. It's when you get that top view for any special teams play, it's because you get the whole perspective instead of just these three players right there. So, but yeah, the sports people do get it right for streaming stuff, and the TV companies are—they're coming along. They're coming along. But I can see in a few years, everything like we said, it's breaking, and everything will be a la carte online.
But the thing about the sports, it's live. I mean, it's not like, well, you know, your show is on, but yeah, you know, I can watch Sarah's show and that show away. It's live. I mean, that's the attraction to it. Is it?
Yes.
It's happening right now. You don't know what's about to happen. You know, once it's over, see with the DVR, I do like to start games about halfway through and then just burn through the commercials. And usually, I end it about the same time the game does. So it's still kind of live. But
you can do that with the hockey stuff on the computer, right, in the game too. Yeah, you can do that because even on the Roku, I turn on a baseball game or a hockey game. Let's say I want to watch. I'll just pick the Pirates and the Mets are playing. I turn the game on. It asks me, you know, it's in the fifth inning. Okay, do you want to start from the beginning or do you want to start go live? And you pick. So the baseball and the hockey both do that, which is nice. You come in third inning and you want to watch it from the beginning, you're good to go. You know, you can just watch from the beginning, like you said, and flip through some of the commercials. So, and I think having it online, matter of fact, there's an article that baseball is tweaking in the how pitchers and batters have to report and be ready time-wise. Because right now, commercials are supposed to be 2 minutes to 2 seconds. And the breaks between innings now were like two and two.
Yeah, two and two.
Yep. Right now the breaks are like 3 to 5 minutes. That's because the pitchers are taking so long and the batters to report to get ready. So they're actually starting a thing to where the batter has to be in the batter's box after two and two. The pitcher has to be his warm up after two and two. No exceptions. That way they do that. The games will be just at 3 hours or just under 3 hours. And that 3 hour mark is key for sports because it increases profitability on TV. If they go over, the TV stations don't make as much money because they're running over, because everything behind them is delayed and all this other stuff, so they lose money. So unless it's like a huge big sporting event, well then, you know. So if it's under the 3 hours, everything's in its nice little bracket.
Yeah.
So they get a higher contract rate and TV contracts from the sporting events if they can keep it in a nice little bundle. That's why NBA makes almost as much per game as baseball, and the game's only two and a half hours. Because, you know, they block off 3 hours. That's their pregame. The game, postgame, you're done. Same thing with hockey. You know, it's done within 3 hours. You got a pregame, the game, postgame, and it's all done in 3 hours, and you're done. So baseball and football have a problem with that. So baseball's trying to address it with that.
Cool. I like it. Well,
yeah.
To not drag it on and let our listeners go.
Yeah, we're just ragging it on now.
No, I didn't get that way.
It's kind of like filler, but it's like too much, and we just overstuff the show. And it's like pooping out the end. And
no, that's not what I meant.
Yeah. Well, let's finish it up all nice and happy, so that when they cut this thing together, it'll make sense. That was a great show, just the right length. Good job, guys.
Well, it makes you think though about cutting the cable. I mean, there's a ton of options. Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, just real quickly. I have, but not really, because you know I have it's my ISP, and they gave me when I got it was like they're like, well, you know, you get the ISP, you get your internet, but you know what? If you actually get this little package where you get the basic cable, you get both, but it ends up being cheaper.
Right. Yes,
I'm like I don't care, whatever. Just if I can have, I want what I want, and I want as cheap as possible. If you're gonna give me more stuff, that's fine. But we don't use it. I mean, we've got a 30-year-old aerial that was on the house we moved in. I attached it up to my digital tuner for my media center PC, and it's like, wow, it's stunning. We haven't tuned a cable channel in probably 6 years because it's crap.
Yeah. Enough said.
That's it. So I am a
yeah.
I'm the accidental cable cutter.
Yeah, the biggest thing, though, is changing your habits. That is by far the biggest thing. You just have to change your habits. People are stuck in the way they want to watch, and that's what they want to watch. Can't do anything about that unless you're going to change your habits. That's what it is. So
that's good. You were talking about a ton of awesome stuff. I thought, man, you should have been here before Christmas. But you're here talking about you were talking about changing habits, and I said, that's a New Year's thing. So you're right on exactly. time. Yeah. So you can come back in well, like the beginning of November or so, maybe. And
talk about different devices for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. You got to come back, though. I love this topic.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. Well, I will, since we're finishing up, before I forget, I do want to say this, some shameless self-promotion on a new podcast.
Oh, wait, you're going through a tunnel, Tracy. We're going to no.
Exactly. New podcast. It will be on the Podnuts, so don't worry. You'll see it. It's me and the great Jonathan Nadeau. He's so flipping awesome. He's amazing being blind, and I do tease him about being blind on this, and you'll find out why in the show, because he remembers stuff I have notes for written, and he remembers them. It's like, you forgot this. I did. Dang it. You know, but that's what he's amazing. But it's actually a show on audiobooks.
Very okay. Cool.
It's just on different books, reviewing them, talking about them and everything like that. So, and it's kind of funny. We kind of, on the first episode, we were both talking about why we listen to audiobooks, and for him, it's obvious he's blind. Okay. That's obvious. Well, I'm dyslexic. Okay, so you got two of us. We got a dyslexic guy and a blind guy, you know. So it kind of sounds like a bad joke, you know, going to a bar, you know. So
a dyslexic and a blind guy open a book.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know what? There's a great punchline here. I couldn't even possibly imagine what it is, but you know what? If somebody can work that out,
exactly.
Something good there.
So it is that. It's going to be weekly podcast. Probably will start in 3 to 6 weeks. You'll probably see it. But it'll be weekly. We're just recording some episodes. And if anybody wants to join us, it's fully wide open. We tell you what book we're going to do ahead of time, so you have a week or two to listen to it and talk to us about it. But you can contact at tracy@podnuts.com, T-R-A-C-Y, @podnuts.com. And you can go there, and we'll tell you what book. And if you don't like listening to it, you like reading, or read the book. You know, that's fine. It's basically about the book. But
have somebody read it to you. If you don't like the reader, maybe your wife, your kids.
I'd fall asleep so quick. Oh my goodness! Because audiobooks are way different now than they were in the 80s when most people had them. Back then, it was a person like this talking. You're like, oh my goodness, that's boring. But the first book we did, hands down, I can tell you this. We both want to do it right away. One of the best books of all time. If you haven't read it or listened to it, if you're not an audiobook fan, you have to. It's Ready Player One.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I was going to Google it, so I had it already. But, yes, Ready Player One is an awesome book. I had it for about a year before. I was like, all right, I'll finally listen to it. Because it was like, Then once I listened to it, it was
unbelievable. And Will Wheaton does the audio for it.
If you're an old school gamer. At all. If you're a child of the 80s,
oh man.
Listen to Ready Player One. Will Smith reads it, not Will Smith. Will Wheaton reads it in the Audible, but yes, Ready Player One is awesome.
Yep, it's great. It's unbelievable. It's a book that really sucks you in, you know. And then we basically how the format will work, we will have an overview of the book. We will talk about an overview of the book. And then we finish everything out, and then we have a spoiler section. So if you stop listening at the spoiler section, you won't miss anything of the podcast. But when we really talk in depth about, boy, this was great because of this, this kind of bad because of this, this plot. But we have one reason we do it is we each pick a book and we trade off. So he's read some that I picked that he liked that he never would have, and vice versa. So we are picking books, you know, we trade off which books are like that we do. So.
While I was Googling Ready Player One to get a link for the things, this came out 2 days ago, 3 days ago. The Ernest Cline, who's the author of it, is in the process of writing a sequel.
Ooh.
Ready Player Two.
It's
Ready Get Set Go.
Somebody bought the rights for the movie too.
Oh.
So just like another great audiobook series, and we reviewed the first one by Lee Childs, Jack Reacher, the Jack Reacher series. There's a movie last year, Jack Reacher. Mm-hmm. The movie didn't do anything. That was like book number 9 or something like that, 8 or 9, I forgot. And that wasn't even one of the good books. But it's unbelievable, that story. The movie, if you thought the movie was good, that's not even a candle to the books. The Jack Reacher series is a full-on action, get it going from the beginning, 2 minutes, 2 pages in, action starts on the last page, somebody dies, and it's over, usually. So that's kind of the way it goes. So very, very, very good. That's another series and stuff like that. But that's what, well, I'm not going to get into it further, but me and the great Jonathan Nadeau, if you want to join us, let us know and you can join us.
Yeah, Jonathan's great. And I, like I say, we had him on about a little more than a year ago. Episode 87, folks. It's if you didn't hear it, or you know, I think it's worth listening. I actually listen to that episode every 2 or 3 months. As a fan, I think so much of him. I thought he was great when he was on the show. He explained the biggest things in the smallest, most simplest ways, and he was fun. And mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned like the blind guy and the dyslexic guy going, oh, you go to the library. That's what you guys do. You go to the library.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. But he has a really great self-deprecating humor. And I'll tell you what, he's really clever with it because he catches you off guard.
So, oh, you know, yes. When we're walking around a hotel, he's like, guys, you're going the wrong way. Jonathan, just follow us and be long. About a minute later, dang it, we're going the wrong way in the hotel. And he's like, I told you guys.
Yeah. There were a couple moments like that, and I tell you, he whipped out a couple things, and we all kind of looked at each other like, oh, is it okay to laugh at that? Because like, you don't know if somebody's some people just mm-hmm. No, that's not it. I mean, he puts it out there knowing that you're gonna like take that breath, and then everybody looks at him, and then we look at him, and it's like, oh, okay, he said a couple things. I mean, I still just cry laughing when I listen to that show.
And he can hold in smiles. When he says a joke, he is one of the best people at, when I tell a joke or something, I can hold it for about 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Same thing with a lie. I can hold it for 3 or 4 seconds, then I lose everything, and you know the answer what I'm doing. Yeah. He can hold that in for a long time, so you don't know, and you're like, is he joking? Is he not? Is he? Right. So that's a podcast. Another podcast, I'm starting another one called The Country Geek. That will be on Podnuts too. That's about me, what I'm doing on my land, different stuff out in the country and stuff like that. That one is probably a little longer out. I've only got a few episodes going on that. So that's another one that will be in the pipeline too. Just keep an eye on the Podnuts. And you'll,
Country Geek.
Well, those all sound really good. Well, we'll have to get you on to interview you about those podcasts then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? You're doing so much. Maybe it'd be best if we just come over to your show. You could just, we could just talk to you there. It sounds like, I mean, you're very busy. We don't want to, we want to disturb you.
Well, see, that's where I look out. I'm doing the front end stuff, and Dora's doing all actually the hard stuff. So I'm giving him the audio, and Dora's doing all the back end stuff. Honestly, if I had to have a podcast again, because the original podcast I did was called Working in the Open. I probably had about, 3 dozen episodes of those. That's where most people knew me before the Techie Geek. It was called Working in the Open, that podcast. And the biggest thing is just the back end stuff. And that's where podcasts would take everything. Doors doing all that. If I had to do this, I wouldn't be doing the podcast. So, and there's the other, my ham one that I'm trying to get going too, but time is getting in the way of that. So my ham radio one.
Wow. You're not busy at all. All right. Well, Mitch, so people can reach out to you, Tracy, at tracy@podnuts.com, right?
Yep,
T-R-A-C-Y.
Yep. And if you want to email John for the podcast, just email me and say, I want to get in contact with John, and I'll get the message to him. Like I said before, if you want to join us, contact me. I'll let you know what book we're doing when.
Excellent. I like it. If you want to contact us here at Geeksters, Mitch, what's the best way to get a hold of us?
Well,
or you, or all of us, or
Geeksters at podnuts.com. And you can also call us at 7076-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688. And I need new glasses because I cannot see anymore. Oh, look, I'm like less a foot and a half away. I can't see this 23-inch screen. I mean, I see it better without glasses. But anyway, I got it.
But you only drive for a living, so it's okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very slowly in his Ford. Okay, fork truck.
Right.
Tim, people want to get a hold of you and just maybe, I don't know, maybe if there's a professional organizer out there, something like that, like to donate some.
Oh, man.
Too soon?
Huh?
Too soon?
No. It's fine. It's all right. Paybacks.
Timmy.
I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+. That's where you can find me. Usually, just weeping alone
in the corner,
in the quietly corner, surrounded by my things. Surrounded by my friends.
My friends,
not these guys. Over this my inanimate objects.
All two of them come over.
Yeah, I have a pile of trash over here. I call Martin, but let's not get into that. I just beat it and beat it. You know what? It's funny because we seem like such good friends on the show, but you know, people don't know we really hate each other.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's
I mean, once the curtain comes down on this, it's like.
That's right. It's East versus West.
That's right.
So Tracy's just stuck in the middle.
We're Texas. Yeah, we're our own thing. We're our own thing down here.
Yeah. Texas is just a big, screw you guys. Yeah, that's we're going home.
We were at Ohio thing, Linux Fest. It was like Thunderdome when we met up.
Thunderdome, I like that.
Thunderdome.
Speaking of, they're making a new, what do you call it?
Mad Max.
Yeah.
I've seen probably 6 trailers for it, and I think I've seen every one of the trailers is just a little bit different where I've gone, well, I've pretty much just seen the whole movie now.
Yeah, probably.
So if you want to get a hold of me, martin@obandocomputing.com, mObando in Google+, and Obando Computing in the chat. Thanks, guys, for coming out and joining us. Thanks, Tracy, for coming out and hanging out with us. Just, man, we could just go on and on and on. But
I think we have.
I think and on. But yeah, thanks for coming out, Tracy. It was a pleasure. And
oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Well, if you, we would love to all be invited to your show at some point.
You guys all will be invited.
All right, sounds good. Hey guys, thanks for joining us. We're on every Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, unless work or colds or flus or just random stuff gets in the way. And then we shift it around a little bit. But if you just follow one of us or all of us on Google+, that's where you see I'll put out the announcements. Thanks, guys, for coming out. Thanks for hanging out with us. Great chat room going on tonight. All right, guys. Have a great shortened fiscal week if we go next Tuesday. Shortened fiscal week. And don't forget to be grumpy. All right, guys. Take care.